Okay. Well, I don't know if this is going to work. We'll have to check it out first and see if it's going to make any noise. Tell me who you are, then we'll check and see if it picks you up.
You want me to tell you who I am?
Right.
Well, I guess somebody by the name of Flying Frog.
Well, the first thing in my line is going to be about the building. What do you know about the building? When was it built? Under what circumstances? Was it built for the Grange Hall or something else? And who was involved in building it?
Well, that's probably a question I can't answer. I said the name, but I don't recall it. But it was built strictly for a Grange Hall. That was the intent from the beginning. Let's see. There was considerable discussion about the building that was located. First one that I know of that offered land for the building of the Grange Hall was worked out somewhere in the vicinity of Fort Farmers. And John Berry was doing with Master at the time and wanted to know if all the Grange members had to harness their horses and drive to Fort Farmers to attend the Grange meeting. So later on, Charlie Brown offered him a piece of land where the hall is now situated. That was 1980, yeah.
And that was right beside the church?
Right beside the old Methodist church. Methodist church is on one side and Charlie Brown's stall is on the other.
The building has two stories. Was the intent that both stories be used by the Grange, or is this just a typical design that was used?
I guess that most Grange halls that I know of anyway, that is the basic design of them. There's some variation in the floor plan. Most all that I know of had two stories. The lower hall was a kitchen and dining room. The upper story was a large meeting room, if you want to call it that.
So they didn't want to travel clear to the Four Corners for the Grange meeting. More people lived over in that area of town.
I would suppose probably without looking at the list of the members, I wouldn't know for sure, but I would suppose it's probably more because after all the Four Corners was getting to the northwest corner of the township. So
yeah.
Well, it's not too far from San Rodriguez in the northwest corner. Let's tell you an interesting story. One Scribner told me this years ago, pertaining to Judge Berry, that's an old guy. As you know, Judge Berry was always on a committee when they were talking about the day of the hall. He said he never was known to haul as much as a pound an hour.
He had the other people to do the pounding.
He was on the committee, but he didn't do any of the work.
George Berry would have lived down on the Flat Road, that area?
George Berry, in those days, lived right at the corner of what we call the Spain Road, and Cooper Road, or North Union Road, whichever way you want to call it, up by Pike Street that is now, that is not my house, and what Pike uses, storage, barn, whatever, has been used several years for the old mortgage. Iron Berry, Joe's father, Armstrong.
Was there, well, it had to be a Grange here in Alexandria before 1908.
The Grange was originally organized in August 1889.
They didn't get the four women, they wouldn't have been able to get the charter.
I said the very minimum they're gonna have is some officers just don't have to be filled to hold a great meeting, but the is four Grange officers cannot be filled by an officer. Segregation in reverse.
Yeah. Don't, you, now you, you named the, you said 15 men and 4 women. Does the Grange have records showing the names of its members over the years?
I don't think they have a complete set of records, but we have a lot of records. I have a copy of the original charter list. Women that were involved. Mrs. Todd Hart, her daughter, who was at the time married to Fremont Peterson. Mrs. Mary Bailey, which was the second wife of Isaiah Bailey, and Tom Cross. So Fremont Peterson was the first secretary. Albin Berry was the first master.
So those records, you know, are available?
I have a copy of the original request for a charter.
For example, if Jane were going to do a special issue on the Grange, that kind of information would be available, or is
yeah.
it? It's not like some of the secret lodges where nobody's supposed to know.
Oh, as far as the officer's concerned, who the members are, there's no secret thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess you might say we'd try one publicly.
It's necessary. Yeah. So, the Grange moved into the new building in 1908, 1909, somewhere in there.
I would assume in the fall of 1908, probably. I wouldn't suspect it would be completed fully at this time, but still on the front of the door there, you've got 1908 cut into it.
Do you know where they met before they hit the Grange Hall?
Methodist Church.
They met at the church next door.
They met at the Methodist Church. It might have not been the exclusive place that they needed, but when Grange was reorganized in 1906, it was organized in the Methodist Church. And at least one occasion after that, it was said to do so. Lynn Skidmore was one of the very early initiates in the reorganized Grange in 1906 and how far to go in 1907 and then he ended up in. He received his degree from the Methodist Church.
Lynn Skidmore is the one that lived right across from where Clinton was now?
Mm-hmm. Last of his life was Roger Holt was in a Chatterbound store at Lawrence Combination.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, my calculations are like, you didn't go to the first meeting at the New Grange Hall.
Not having.
When was your first association with Grange?
1937.
You were fairly young then.
17.
17. Did you walk till the cars overtaken you? What do you remember?
Oh, I expect probably walked in 37. Mm-hmm. Since it was right alongside the store, it was counted down the store, it was frequent to get in place there. Not necessarily young people, but a lot of people. It was post office store. Most everybody probably at that time was in walking distance from the Green Zone Walk, didn't they?
And now, a kind of deviation from the Grange for a second here, but from where you live, you walk up over the hill, but did you have a path through the back field to take you, or did you walk way down to the corner and back up through the road?
Oh, it was a path that went across the field. Also past House of Brown, down the other field by what we call Charlie Brown New Barn, right in front of the Grange Hall.
I thought there must have been, but I never observed anybody using it.
Yeah, that went out of use a long time ago, but it was there when I was a teenager, in my 20s, 30s. People got too lazy to walk to the road, apparently.
Right. Now, what was the Grange like? Now, you probably remember something about it before then. But the Grange obviously has gone up and down as far as membership and interest.
Mm.
It was down pretty bad just a couple of years ago, and it seems around the state to be increasing in membership now.
Of course it's, I think, particularly since the Second World War, I guess I would say, membership in the Grange has had a tendency to decrease, I guess it's probably true. A lot of different bodies, at least I hear it. I don't belong to any of them, but I hear that story. But other lodges are having problems with anyone. So.
What was the size of the Alexander Grange in 1937, approximately?
Oh, I would guess it was probably somewhere in the vicinity of 100 members.
Men, women, and?
Men and women.
Young?
It had to be over 14. It could be the way that we know.
This would represent about 30 families in that center?
Probably all of that.
Now these families would be predominantly farming families or farming woods workers?
Farmers. Yes, definitely. Almost everybody knows that at that time was farming.
And then that after the war the numbers declined?
Well, no, the grain membership not necessarily. It's probably the decline of we've seen in the last few years it happened probably into the middle 60s or 70s. Alexander, particularly during the time that Lynn Sidman was master of Preston Park as a lecturer, had probably a membership that exceeded sometimes over 200 members.
Well, and that would be
in the 50s, mid to late 50s.
Now, at that time, with those 200 members, were those members primarily from agricultural-based families, or were these people who were working in town farming on the side?
A combination of a lot of people, doctors, lawyers, merchants, undertakers, ministers, a lot of, our membership comes from Woodland, which is, you know, BP town. Paper mill. We have quite a few members of the cash, what's called the name of Andrews, I believe he was a manager of Gulf Oil Station and, distribution, something like that. Was a member of the gang, Edward Scott, Undertaker, his wife, and Andrew, I think, somebody, Dr. Gordon Sears, and from Woodland. Dr. Sears and his wife are still members of the gang.
Are the popul- so then the population started to drop down with Grange membership. What's the lowest that it got approximately when?
I would guess it about, 1982 was it now. Come on, it's in the 35 numbers, I remember that.
And now it's building, growing again.
We've got about 40 numbers now. I think the actual count was 39, I heard the secretary report last meeting.
And the members now, don't have a, do you have a full-time farmer as a member now?
Not really.
Not really.
There's no full-time farmer in Alexander.
I guess not. Now, function of the Grange. We've talked about the membership going up and going down, starting back up again. Talked a little bit about the members originally being mostly farmers, or farmers and woods workers combination, to now being at best part-time farmers. What's the function of the Grange? What's the purpose of the Grange? And has that purpose changed over the years?
Well, the purpose of the Grange has never changed over the years. Principally, educate and promote the welfare of the American farmer. There is a requirement to become a member of the Grange. You have to be, what they use their term now, is interested in agriculture. Years ago, you had to be engaged in agriculture. Just when it changed, I don't know, but there was a rule that was quite widely ignored anyway. A lot of people around the Grange that didn't have no direct contact with agriculture. That's fine.
Consumers, not producers.
Consumers. We all have an interest in agriculture, but the one who agriculture would be.
Right.
And of course, one thing I might mention was that such a big function is another thing, in the rural area. The Grange basically is a rural organization. It's farm organization. It does exist in cities, not principally. And the Grange was organized in 1867, 1868, drawn up until the days of the automobile. It became the Grange building became the center of the rural community. All activities were functioned there. And then in Alexander, they still are. And a lot of other communities are there. And I expect that. Cat and Green and so forth, they don't have no community at all. I kind of found, like, if you use school farms or spent some time writing, discussing, whatever.
And that's one of the purposes of the.
Yeah, of community, sure.
So even though the makeup of the population has changed, the basic purpose is to educate and promote the welfare of the American family. Is the group today, do you have a number of young people in Grange today?
We have some, yes. Our lady assistant good is. Quite young members. But basically, forties, fifties, and sixties, seventies.
You skip a generation, twenties and thirties, is.
We have one or two members in the twenties and thirties. But basically, that's the oldest population. We do have a few members who are there. But all of them, they're restricted down here.
I know that in the Rumford Center Grange, they, and I'm not sure of these kids are Grange members, but there are a lot of kids, 10, 11, 12 years old, that are involved in Grange activities.
Probably juvenile Grange, if they're 10, 11, 12 years old. They have a juvenile Grange, I think the age is 5 up to 14.
Do you have one of those here?
No, the only one is in eastern Washington County, in Charlotte. That's been functional for 20 years, I guess. Maybe more than that.
Now, the, offices, is that the term you use, in the Grange? You said four of them had to be held by women? And you said that taught both the master and the lecturer? What are the offices in the Grange?
What are the titles?
What are the titles and what's involved in their activities?
The four offices that cannot be held by men are what we call the Graces and the Lady Assistant Stores. The Graces have got an honor series for more than four Greek goddesses. Masters, of course, preside in office. The overseer is second in command, takes over, and then the master is absent. Next one is the lecturer, which is in charge of literary program, whatever, legal program, entertainment. The Grange may have it at regular meeting. Steward, assistant steward. Ladies, just as well, as I mentioned before, have a chaplain, which is a mediator with the Almighty, and the gatekeeper, which guards the door, which intrudes on those that are not members. Of course, they have a secretary to keep the records and the treasury to handle the funds. And then the beggars are committed to look after the affairs of the Grange, and Grange are not in session.
So you get basically the organization is similar to Historical Society or any other organization. The names are different.
Of course, that's an interesting thing. The original seven founders of the National Grange, three of them were members of the Masonic Lodge, one of them. Not about two of them are ministers.
Yeah.
Now, when I say two of them are ministers, they could have been that same person, the minister could have been a mason and all that.
Yeah. What, you say the lecturer is responsible for the program of the entertainment, or we call that program jamming, but the lecturer, what kind of programs, I'm gonna go two or three things here, and we'll go backwards this time. What kind of programs do you have now, and you kind of work backwards?
Well, it varies from, I mean, meeting to grand meeting, it might be, reading for poems or songs or jokes or stories, and, depending on the membership, but it's probably at that particular meeting, and of course, if, find some big event, or you might have a speaker, and it could be anybody, a state senator, or, God forbid, one of the county commissioners, or, some of your state range off, and some ministers, and some church, or, could be, you know, anything.
So it could be either educational or cultural entertainment?
Oh, yeah, it could be, with agriculture, education, religion, as I guess.
Have the type of programs changed over the years?
Not basically, no.
Not basically. Were the programs, when you first started going, more aimed at agriculture, improved agriculture, or were they ever aimed at that year?
I would suspect they were, because when I first became a member of the Grange, and all the time prior to that, basically the membership was farmer. Either he was a farmer or a farm laborer or a woodsman, which is not really wouldn't be part agriculture, part farmer.
Yeah. So the programs might have to do with you know, which breed of dairy cow might do better on a particular crop, so which type of hay crop to plant, type.
Well, you kind of got potatoes, white.
Potatoes, right.
White corn and yellow.
Mm-hmm. But you don't do as much of that today as you used. You do anything about horses at today's meetings?
Not really.
But that seems to be the...
That's 4-H country.
Yeah.
Actually.
Is there any relationship between the Grange and the 4-H?
None, except that if the 4-H club needs a hall for some use, from their meetings,